Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU Third Quarter 2020 Earnings Conference Call and Webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you all for joining us today. We have a few slides that summarize our numbers for the first nine months and third quarter of this year, and then our CFO, Arturo Silva, will be happy to take any questions at the end of the call. As always, please feel free to contact me afterward if you have additional questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, the presentation is available on our website, www.smu.cal, in the Financial Information section. I also sent out the presentation to the distribution list this morning. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today, so as always, please remember to take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of our presentation. On slide number three, we have revenue. As we saw last quarter, during the pandemic, we have seen changes in customer behavior that have had a negative impact on our stores. This was largely related to the restrictions that were imposed in Chile, with quarantines, shelter-in-place orders, and a limited number of permits to leave the house each week, which naturally had a negative impact on traffic and frequency of purchases. These restrictions peaked in the months of June and July in terms of coverage. In August, restrictions began to be lifted in some areas and in stages as the number of coronavirus cases has fallen. In September, October, and November, the number of municipalities under quarantine has continued to fall, and this has led to a gradual recovery in customer traffic in our stores. However, performance in July, before this recovery began, weighed down our third quarter results. The other issue affecting our top line is the fact that we have fewer stores operating than we did at the same time last year. This is due to the social unrest that took place in Chile at the end of last year, with some incidents at different points of this year as well. Following those incidents, we have stores that were seriously damaged and therefore have not been operating for part or all of this year. Over time, we have reopened many of those stores, but pandemic-related restrictions have slowed our progress on rebuilding others. These closed stores explain why revenue fell 1.9% in the first nine months of the year, while same-store sales grew 2.3%. And they also explain the gap in the third quarter, with revenue falling 4.1%, but same-store sales only 0.6% lower year-over-year. We have managed to grow our gross margin during the period, despite the increase in demand for basic grocery products. In the first nine months, gross margin grew 30 basis points, and in the third quarter, we had an expansion of 50 basis points. As a result, the decrease in gross profit was not as pronounced as in the top line, essentially flat in the nine months and lower by 2.4% in the quarter. On slide four, we have a breakdown of revenue performance by format for the first nine months of 2020 versus 2019. The decrease year-over-year is concentrated in Unimarc and, to a lesser extent, OK Market, where we saw both the low number of stores and the COVID restrictions, both in terms of quarantine limitations on customers and in terms of reduced operating hours to comply with mandatory curfews, which particularly affected OK Market. Performance in these formats was offset by growth in cash and carry, even with fewer stores, and a negative impact on traffic from ADCVA. E-grocery revenue grew over 60% in the first nine months, and it more than doubled in the third quarter, as we saw more demand from customers who couldn't or didn't want to leave their homes in order to get groceries. And Peru once again contributed to revenue growth as well. On the next slide, we have same-store sales, which corrects for the effect of the store closures and gives us clear year-over-year comparison. As I mentioned before, same-store sales growth for the first nine months amounted to  2.3%. Here, growth was driven by the cash and carry segment, with 10.6% growth, and especially Aldi, with 23% growth, as strength in B2B and institutional sales continued. Unimarc and Mayorista 10 were more affected by the lower traffic, as both of these formats have a high percentage of centrally located stores. For Unimarc, over 30% of sales come from centrally located stores, and in the case of Mayorista 10, it is closer to 60%. Center locations generally have underperformed residential stores under these circumstances. In the third quarter, same-store sales fell to 0.6%. The restrictions in July had a significant impact on this figure. As I mentioned before, in August and September, we began to see a recovery. The fact that OK Market achieved 1.4% same-store sales growth in the quarter, even while closing earlier, shows a change in trend. On slide 6, we provided two additional graphs to illustrate how same-store sales and traffic have evolved this year. The first quarter reflects the fact that the year got off to a strong start in January and February, and in the second half of March, it had the added impact of customers stocking up on groceries in the early stages of the pandemic. In the second quarter, we had the drastic drop in traffic due to the quarantine and other restrictions. This continued through July, and then in August, things started to turn around and have gradually been improving since then. Overall traffic was still down over 50% in the third quarter. We certainly are not back to normal by any stretch of the imagination, but things started moving in the right direction, and we included October in the graph to show that the trend continues to improve. The recovery is reflected when we compare the 2.7% drop in same-store sales in the second quarter to the 0.6% decrease in the third quarter, which, as I said, is pulled down by the situation in July. Moving on to slide 7, just as we did last quarter in this presentation, we've spread operating expenses out over two slides in order to illustrate the impact that extraordinary COVID-related expenses had during the period. First, we have operating expenses for the first 9 months of the year. Before I go into that explanation, just as a reminder to explain the colors on these graphs, last year we had the application of IFRS 16, making historical figures not comparable to 2019 and 2020 figures. We've left the historical figures and the pro forma IAS 17 2019 numbers, as well as the IFRS 16 2019 numbers, so you can see how much of the difference can be attributed to the change in accounting rules. As you can see in the graph at the top, we had year-over-year growth of 4.4% in operating expenses. In 2020, this includes 7.4 billion pesos in expenses that are directly related to COVID, personnel expenses, sanitization services, personal protective equipment, and other materials. Excluding these amounts, OPEX would have grown 2.3% year-over-year, and OPEX as a percentage of revenue would have grown 70 basis points instead of 120. The non-COVID expenses growth is mainly explained by higher insurance expenses under our new post-social unrest policies, as well as salaries due to higher minimum wage and inflation adjustments, although that was partially offset by lower average headcount. On slide 8, we have the same idea, but for the third quarter. However, in the third quarter, something very unusual happened, which is that total operating expenses decreased year over year, even when you include 2.2 billion pesos of extra COVID-related expenses. When you exclude the COVID expenses, total OPEX decreased 2%. Here you can see the effect of our disciplined approach to expenses. We have been working hard to optimize the COVID expenses, but as you can see on the bottom graph, we are also achieving savings in other expenses. Distribution expenses were lower in the quarter, as were personnel and advertising expenses. On slide number 9, we have provided an illustration of the optimization of COVID expenses that I mentioned on the previous slide, comparing Q2 to Q3. During the second quarter, we had nearly 4.6 billion pesos in extraordinary expenses. This was due to the fact that during that quarter, we were reacting to the crisis and did not yet have a clear supply chain in place for the different products and services that we needed in order to continue to operate safely. As the months have gone by, more suppliers have become available to us, and we have also been able to plan better, which has resulted in a significant optimization, where expenses were cut in half. It is very important to mention here that we have achieved these savings while remaining in strict compliance with all public health protocols. The health and safety of our employees, contractors, and customers is our number one priority. On slides 10 and 11, we've provided the same breakdown for EBITDA as we did for operating expenses, showing the impact of the extraordinary COVID-related expenses. In the first 9 months, EBITDA, as reported, fell 11.7% to 125 billion pesos, and a decrease of 70 basis points in EBITDA margin. Excluding the COVID expenses, the decrease in EBITDA would have been 6.5%, and the drop in EBITDA margin would have been 40 basis points. On slide 11, we can see EBITDA for the third quarter, but we had a decrease of 7.5% to 49 billion pesos, and 30 basis points lower EBITDA margin. This is a significant improvement over the second quarter, where EBITDA fell 45.8% and EBITDA margin fell 320 basis points. So here we can see the impact of the gradual recovery in the top line and also the optimization of operating expenses. Excluding the COVID expenses, EBITDA fell 3.4% and EBITDA margin actually expanded 10 basis points from 9.0% to 9.1%. On slide 12, we have net income, which fell 59% in the first 9 months, essentially due to the net loss we had in the second quarter. In the third quarter, we had net income of $9.5 billion, which is 7.6% lower than in the same quarter of last year. At the bottom of the slide, we've included a graph showing net income for the first, second, and third quarters of this year. As you can see, the second quarter loss practically offset the entire profit of the first quarter, but in the third quarter, not only did we manage to recover the positive net income, we achieved net income that was even higher than the first quarter. On slide 13, we have an updated maturity profile. This hasn't changed much since June. The bank debt we have in the remainder of 2020 is essentially revolving short-term debt. On slide 14, we have a look at our bond covenants, where we have plenty of flexibility in terms of meeting the restrictions. You may recall that in July, we held bondholders meetings in order to standardize our covenants across all bond lines. Those changes were approved by bondholders and have since been officially registered with the Financial Markets Commission, so they are in effect beginning with these September 30th financial statements. On slide 15, we have a graph that shows our sources and uses of cash in the first 9 months, which is very much in line with what we were seeing in June. While EBITDA was lower this year than last year, we did have the new bond issue from June, which provided liquidity and was used to refinance financial liabilities. On the user side, CapEx was about $24 billion, and we continue to expect full-year CapEx to be in the neighborhood of $40 billion. As we have explained throughout the year, the restrictions, first related to social unrest and then related to the pandemic, have led to delays in our CapEx plan. So many projects have been pushed back to next year. Other uses of cash this year have included interest payments and lease payments. We also have paid down debt with the proceeds from the bond, and we paid a dividend in May. Other mainly includes working capital, which was running at more of a deficit in the first half of this year, and we have been recovering in the second half, which is normal due to our business cycle. On slide 16, we have a few highlights relating to different company initiatives. Customer experience is one of the pillars of our strategic plan. Our loyalty program and personalized promotional activity are a key part of that, and we continue to innovate there. Most recently, we added a new benefit for our Club Ahorro Loyalty Club members, where, by using our app, they can receive promotional pricing even after in-store promotional events have ended. Customer response to these extended promotions has been very positive, exceeding our expectations. As part of our ongoing efforts, we also continue to closely monitor our customers' needs and preferences, especially given the changes we have seen during the pandemic. To that end, we have made some adjustments to product assortment. With respect to e-commerce, we have moved our Unimarc.cl platform into the next stage. We were piloting the site with friends and family, and we have now expanded the pilot to a group of customers in order to get ready for the full launch. In terms of our organic growth plans, as restrictions due to the pandemic have lifted, we are focusing our efforts on some of the projects that we had to postpone. For the first half of next year, we are planning to open 2 Unimarc stores, as well as reopen one of the stores that has been closed since the end of last year. We're also planning to reopen the 3 OK Markets that have remained closed since the social crisis, as well as 2 new stores. And in Peru, we are on track to open 3 new stores in the first half. We're also very proud of the campaign that we designed to help people who have been severely affected by the economic consequences of the pandemic. The campaign is called Unidos Salimos de Esto, which translates to We Will Get Through This Together. Between July and September, we invited customers and neighboring communities to participate in this initiative, and we contributed an additional 10%. As a result, we were able to help 143 organizations with a total donation of 186 million pesos. Finally, on slide 17, we have a few comments on the binding agreement we signed in October to sell our OK Market business to FEMSA, which operates the OXXO convenience stores in Chile. This transaction includes the sale of 100% of the shares in OK Market for a U.S.-denominated price equivalent to approximately 43.5 billion pesos. The transaction is subject to regulatory approval. We submitted documentation to the antitrust authority about a week ago. And the timing on that process is highly variable, which makes it difficult to estimate when the transaction could be finalized. If we obtain regulatory approval, founder will need to perform a due diligence process. Considering all these steps, we believe the transaction should close during the next year. The proceeds from the sale will be reinvested into the company and put towards strengthening our strategic plan for the coming year. We continue to operate Open Market as normal, and we will carry on with our organic growth plan for this format. As per the terms of our agreement with FEMSA, we will be compensated for these investments as adjustments to the purchase price. That's it for our presentation. Thank you very much for listening. If there are any questions, Arturo will be happy to take them in.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, you may press star then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question is from Alonso Aramburu with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. Two questions on my side. You mentioned that better trends in the fourth quarter. Are they, do you expect same-store sales now to turn positive, specifically in Unimark? I mean, how much of an improvement have you seen in Unimark in the last couple of months? And regarding e-commerce, with the launch of Unimark.cl, do you have a target on where you see e-commerce sales as a percentage of total sales? Today is below 1%. Some of the competitors are much higher than that. I mean, where do you think e-commerce sales can grow at SMU?
Okay. In Unimark, indeed, Unimark performance improved a lot in August and September, and also in October and November. Essentially, because the quarantine reduction in some counties or municipalities is very important. Now we have less stores with these restrictions, and also the in some cases we don't have any restrictions for the customer to buy in any day of in the week in our stores. That is a very very important issue beginning in August and also in September and October and November, improving the sense of sale in Unimark, also in the beginning of in the last quarter in October and November, the performance is good, very very good in comparison with the previous quarter. And in terms of the Unimark.cl, we are implementing the proof period, the test period, with few clients and in November. And the idea is to increase the number of customer in 6,000 customer in addition in the next week. With the idea to launch it finally for the all customers, the Unimark.cl in the end of the year, in December. With the idea to capture more sales from e-commerce. Anyway, the e-commerce is increasing in SMU in general, considering the Telemercado.cl and also Last Miler. In total, in the third quarter, the last mile increased in 250%, and Telemercados and those Domingo store, the back store, increased in 135%, but you can see that the 100% of e-commerce business increased in the third quarter in 155%. With the Unimark.cl, we are increasing our capacity and also with the idea to capture the more demand during December. In parallel, we are working in the back, considering the investing or signing the contract for our new micro fulfillment center, with the idea to improve our profitability in the e-commerce business in 2021. The idea is to invest in this facility. improving our performance in this e-commerce channel.
Thank you, Arturo. If you include the sales from through last mile operators plus telemercados, how much is that roughly as a percentage of total sales?
Including the last miler, the increase was 155, and not including the last miler was 135. And the penetration.
But as a percentage of sales, yeah.
10%, 2% penetration in total, because before the pandemic, remember that the penetration was 0.7 or close to 1%. Now it's close to 2% in the total sales of SMU.
Perfect. Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your telephone. This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Carolyn McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thanks very much. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. I hope you have a great week, and we hope to have you with us for our fourth quarter call next year. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.